ears and our hearts to hear more of what you have to say to us about our Lord. Amen.
It's one thing getting the thing on, but then you've got to get your glasses on as well. There we are. Okay, let's switch that on. All right, coming through, testing. Great, excellent. Okay, right, so why is this Palm Sunday? Because they waved the palms. But I think if we put ourselves in the head of like a five-year-old who always says, but why? We want them to, but why were they waving palms? Rupert? They were waving it at Jesus. But why palms? Sorry? They were what? They were handy. Okay. Local produce. That's right. Low M oils. It was hot. This is a really important question. We've just been marching around waving palms, and we actually don't know why. Because this is how you greet a king. Give that lady a prize. Go on, this is the leftover prize. See? Share it around. Okay, because, and this is really important. You know, at Christmas, Ian always says, if you point at something, it's too easy to get distracted by the fingers and the hand rather than what the fingers and the hand are pointing to. On Palm Sunday, it's great to have the palms out, but we mustn't forget why the palms are out. And the answer is, as Lucy just told us, is because that was how you welcomed the king. When a king at that time has been out and won a great victory, as they return to the city, everybody is out, waving, jubilant, excited, taking your coat off, putting it down so that the king can come through. That was why they got the palms out, because they were welcoming a king. More than that, for the Jews who were there at that time, they knew, because they had had a prophecy 400 years before, that they should not just wait for any old king, but the King of Kings. The king who would bring an end to all suffering. The king who would bring in righteousness and peace forevermore. And so, when Jesus comes in on the donkey, as was prophesied, they knew that their king was coming. And they got their palms out, they took their coats off, because they knew that this was their king. And the point that I want us to really get this morning is that we do not know Jesus properly until we know him as king. We can't say, come in, Libby, stay out, Justice. We can't say, come in, Abby Wheeler, daughter of Scott and Nikki, but stay out, Abby Wheeler, sister of Levi and Isaac. In the same way, we cannot say, come in, Jesus, friend, father, good teacher, but stay out, Jesus the King. On Palm Sunday, he comes in as King, and we cannot know him properly or fully until we know him as our King. In the quiz, we didn't have any questions about Charles III. Then did we? But probably he's the king that probably that all of us are most familiar with, the king who's still alive. It's probably Charles III. And if we're honest, don't we all probably like to think of Jesus a bit like Charles III? Let me explain. Not the size of his ears, no. But he's kind. He's smiley. He means well. He comes out on high days and holidays. When you turn 100, you get a nice card. But really, day to day doesn't make much difference to how we live our lives. Probably, if we're all honest, that we all treat Jesus a bit like Charles III. But what Jesus is saying to us through coming in as king is nothing. He's not coming to us like Charles III. He's coming to us as a king with all authority, with all power. Do you remember the story of Archimedes when he got into the bath? As he got into the bath, the water was displaced. If you drop a feather into a pond, not much happens. If you drop a rock into a pond, the water makes a huge splash and the pebbles go far and wide. You'll see here that I have put up a few little, skittly type things, okay? If I'm to throw these at them, nothing happens. Makes a mess. We'll deal with that later. Now, you know how good I am with throwing, so, if I take this, because the force that is greater comes and everything else has to give way. If Jesus comes into our life as king, then everything has to give way because he is the almighty king. He is the ruler. He's not just a nice person who turns up every now and then. He is the king of our lives. So what does this mean for us? Two things quickly as we wrap up. Two things from the passage. First of all, if we do treat him like king, that means we have to worship him. Did you notice in that passage that we had at the very beginning, there was the people who were lining the streets praising God, praising Jesus, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And then did you notice there were some religious leaders who stood back? It actually says in the passage they stood back and they were cross. And they said to Jesus afterwards, why did you let them make such a fuss? And Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing here, if I had kept them quiet, even the stones would have called out in worship. Because the truth is, we are either people who know Jesus as king, and we worship, we call out and praise. But if you don't know Jesus as king, you're going to be standing back with your arms crossed, cynical, critical, defensive. People who know Jesus as king, they worship. They worship. Second thing from that story that we can see that happens if you know Jesus as king is that you obey him. You worship him and you obey him. Did you remember at the beginning, before they were coming in, Jesus said to his disciples, look, hey, go ahead of me. The first village you come to, you'll find a donkey tied up outside. Get the donkey, bring it to me. If anyone stops you and says, what are you doing? Say to them, the Lord needs it. Exactly that happens. The two disciples go off, come to the village, see, come to the house, see donkey tied up, take it away. They're just about to walk off when the owner comes to them, excuse me, what are you doing? And the disciples say to him, the Lord needs it. That's all that's required. They take the donkey away. There's absolute obedience because the Lord says it. Tim Keller, a theologian who I absolutely love, he tells a story that when he had younger kids, he had a 10-year-old son who would say to him, Dad, if you could tell me why I should obey you, why it's a good idea and why it makes sense, then yeah, I'll do what you say. And so Tim said to him, okay, all right, I will tell you why you should do this. I will tell you why it's a good idea. I'm 40 and you're 10. And too many of us come into a relationship with God as a contract. If it makes sense, if it suits me, then yes, I'll obey you. But if we know him as king, whether it makes sense or not, whether it suits us or not, we obey him, we give way. So Jesus comes to us as king. We cannot know him unless we know him as king, and as we follow him as our king, we worship and we pray, and we obey. Finish with Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place as king and gave him the name that is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, as king, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thanks, Rue. If you'd like to stand, we're going to sing a song which you all know called King of My Heart. If this is the first time you've sung this and really thought about the lyrics, then bless you. I just invite all of you to really think about the lyrics we sing in this song and how much we do actually give way to the King whom we worship. And it's the first time we've really sung that song and understood those words, then let someone else know about that. Let's sing this together. Well, as we do this, what we'll do is we will, then Marie will come up towards the end of the song as the band plays, and we will continue in prayer.